We begin the current daf, Masechtas Kedushin, daf Lamed Hey. We begin 14 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara on Amud Aleph was saying, what's the source for this halacha that we know from the Mishnah, that mitzvah saseh shazman gerama, for any time-bound mitzvah, women are exempt, but mitzvah saseh shaloy hazman gerama, any positive commandment that's not time-bound, women are obligated. So the Gemara brought the source for that halacha from Tefillin, which, just like we find by Tefillin, that women are exempt, because we learned that out from the comparison to Talmud Torah, which women are exempt. Same thing applies to Tefillin. And then, just like Tefillin is a mitzvah saseh zman gerama, women are exempt, so too, all other mitzvah saseh zman gerama, women are exempt. Now the Gemara asked, okay, why are you learning from Tefillin? Learn from other mitzvahs. Specifically, there's the mitzvah of matzah, the mitzvah of hakil, which are also time-bound positive commandments, and women are obligated. So the Gemara answered, because they're shnei kesuvim aboim ke'echad. They're both saying the same concept. Why did the Torah have to say both? You could learn that one from the other. So the Torah is coming to tell you that it had to say both because you can't learn out from it. And that's why we don't learn out from there to other mitzvahs such as mangaram that women would be obligated. Rather, we learn out from tefillin. So the Gemara had asked, that works well according to the opinion that holds that shnei kesuvim aboim ke'echad ein malamdin. But according to the opinion that holds that you could still learn out from a halachic source in the Torah, even though two psukim are saying the same concept, what are you going to say? That was a question the Gemara had left off with. Then the Gemara said, let's move on to another topic. How do we know that women are obligated in mitzvah to say shaloy hazman gerama? So the Gemara said, you learn that from yiras avayim, where the daughter is obligated in fearing her parents, even though, in other words, and it's a mitzvah to say shaloy hazman gerama. So to all mitzvah to say shaloy hazman gerama. So the Gemara asked, well, why don't you learn from Talmud Torah? Learning Torah is also not time-bound. It's at all times. And yet women are exempt. So the Gemara said, no, because Talmud Torah and Pirei Berivya are two mitzvahs that are boyin ke'echad. They're both not time-bound, and they're both mitzvahs that women are exempt. So therefore, since they're boyin ke'echad, eim alamdin, and therefore we're rather going to be learning from Yiras HaVeim, which is a shaloyas mangarama, and women are obligated. So that's where our Gemara leaves off now. The Gemara introduced Rabbi Yechim Bereika, who, according to him, we have to say, it's actually two other psukim, there's Talmud Torah and Pidnya Ben, that they're boyin ke'echad because he actually holds Pirei Berivya, a woman is obligated. And then, so then if Yiras HaVeim and Pirei Berivya are saying the same idea, how do we learn it from Yiras HaVeim? So he says, because they're not boyin ke'echad, because you actually need both, you wouldn't know one from the other. That's where our Gemara left off. So now the Gemara concludes these two questions that we had. One was mentioned on the previous staff regarding, how do you know, according to the Mandamma, boyin ke'echad, you could be malamed, you could learn out, even though there's two psukim saying the same concept, that A, first of all, that a woman is going to be exempt by mitzvah seishes mangarama. Why don't you learn it from matzah and hakel, that she's actually obligated, even though it's mangarama? And so too, our Gemara concludes now the second question. And that is going back on the question that we had asked, that we said, let's learn out from Talmud Torah, that a woman is exempt from a mitzvah seishes shaloyas mangarama. So the Gemara had answered, because, Talmud Torah and Pinya Ben are both saying the same concept that they're not time-bound, and yet women are exempt. So therefore, we cannot learn from there to say that a woman would be exempt from not time-bound mitzvahs, from Shalei Zman Gerama. And rather, we're going to be left with learning it from Yiras HaVeim. So the Gemara asks, Hanich Lamanda Amar Shnei Kesuvim Aboim Ke'echad Ein Malamdin. That only works well, according to the opinion that says you can't learn out from a source that has two psukim the same idea. Elamanda Amar Malam, the according to the pin that holds that you could learn out. Michael, remember what you're going to say that we should learn out the halacha for other mitzvahs as say shaloyz mangarama that the woman is exempt from Talmud Torah and Pinya Ben, where even though they're not time bound, that at all times applicable, and still a woman is exempt. So say the same thing for all mitzvahs as say shaloyz mangarama, not like the halacha of our Mishnah, which said that when it's a mitzvah say shaloyz mangarama, a woman is obligated. So Amar Rava, Rava said, Papunoi, which refers to the students in Papuno, that's the name of a place, Yadu lo l'taymi d'ho milsa. They know the reasoning for this halacha. Umano, and who is this Papunoi that we're referring to? It's Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who he lived in Papunoi, as the Gemara says in Baba Basa, Tezayinim and Alf. So he explains that even according to the pin that holds Shnegesom Boim Ke'echad, you usually come a Malamed, we could answer both questions that we had regarding Mitzvah Seish Aloyez Mangarama, and also regarding mitzvah seishes man gerama. Omar Kra, the pasuk says in Shemais, v'hoyu l'cha l'ois al yodecha, that the tefillin should be a sign for you on your arm, or l'zikaron b'enecha, and it should be a remembrance between your eyes, that's the tefillin shal yad and tefillin shal reish, l'matiya teres Hashem b'ficha, so that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. So, says the Gemara, hukshu kol ha-Torah kul l'tefillin, that we see that the Torah is equating the whole entire Torah to tefillin. Because that's what it's saying. It's comparing Torah Hashem to the tefillin that's being mentioned over there. Now, moreover, is that that's what's called a hekesh, where the pasuk is comparing the two things. We don't leave a hekesh and learn out from a binyan av. Meaning, the questions that we had asked, and this is answering both of those questions, we had asked, wait a second, let's learn out from matzah and hakel to say that even though it's a mitzvah seishas mangurama, we say women are obligated, that's a binyan av, that's what's called a mamatin. Just like we find over there, let's say the same thing over here. That was question number one we had. Question number two we had was regarding mitzvah seishas lois mangurama. We said that women should be exempt because we should learn from Talmud Torah and Pinya Ben, where even though they're not time-bound, and yet still women are exempt. And that is what Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov is answering. It says we have a hekesh. A hekesh is more powerful than a binyan av, which is, okay, we could say comparatively, mamatzin, we find that, let's say the same thing over here. Here the Torah is equating tefillin to the whole entire Torah, which tells us, not tefillin, mitzvah, seishas, mangurama, v'noshim, peturois, just like tefillin, is a time-bound mitzvah, it's not applicable at all times. And women are exempt. Afko mitzvah seishas mangurama nashim baturah. So to all positive commandments that are time bound, women are going to be exempt. Now that answers question number one from the previous daf. Now it's going to answer question number two by its inference, and that is ude mitzvah seishas mangurama nashim baturah. Now from the fact that by time bound commandments, the Torah required a hekesh to tell you that they're going to be exempt by time bound commandments, because the Torah is coming to compare to you tefillin, which we know they're exempt from its comparison to Talmud Torah, and that we know from Vishnantam Levanecha B'Levim Naisecha, and then the Torah is comparing tefillin to the whole entire Torah to tell you that they're exempt from mitzvah seishas mangurama. Mechlal, the inference is the mitzvah seishas loyas mangurama, that when it's by other mitzvahs which are not time-bound, nashim chayavis, that women are obligated. Because you see the Torah is coming to explicitly only exempt them when they're time-bound. But if they're not time-bound, then they're going to be obligated. That's the source for both of these halachas. So yes, according to the one who holds, when you have Beis Ksumo, Abom Ke'echet Emalamdin, we know it from its individual sources, from Tfilin for Mitzvah Seishas Mangarama, and we know from Niris Ava'im for Mitzvah Seishas Lois Mangarama. But that only works according to that Mandamo, as we said in the previous staff, but according to one who says you could learn out, even though it's Beis Ksumo, Abom Ke'echet, then why learn from Tfilin? Why learn from Niris Ava'im? Learn from Matz and Hakil. Learn from Talmud Torah and Pinya Ben. So the Gemara is saying, no, because we have this Hekish that compares tefillin to Kol Torah Kulo, and therefore that it's coming to exempt them from only mitzvah seishas mangurama, which then tells us they're obligated in mitzvah seishas lois mangurama. Now the Gemara says, we still have questions. Hanich lemando amar tefillin mitzvah seishas mangurama. The answer you just gave works well only according to the one who holds that tefillin, wearing tefillin, is a time-bound commandment, which this is a machlekes in Masechta Shabbos and Masechtas Erevin, where it's disputed if it's considered a mitzvah seishas mangurama. So therefore, elamanda matfilin mitzvah seishas lois mangurama. According to the opinion that holds that tefillin is not a time-bound commandment. Tefillin is a mitzvah to wear by day and by night and on weekday and on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. According to that opinion, Michael and Mamba, what are you going to say? Because actually, based on the hekesh that you just said, we should actually learn that the exact opposite of the halacha of our Mishnah. We should tell you that mitzvah seishas lois mangurama, which is what tefillin is according to that mandama, women should be exempt because we know women are exempt from tefillin because it's compared to Talmud Torah. And if they're exempt from tefillin and you're comparing Kol Torah Kulo to tefillin, according to that opinion holds that it's a mitzvah seishas lois mangurama, so then all of mitzvah seishas lois mangurama, women should be exempt, which is the exact opposite of what we're trying to say. Trying to explain the halacha of the Mishnah that they're exempt from zmangurama and chayivin lois mangurama. But according to the one who holds tefillin is lois mangurama and they're exempt, then this hekesh will tell us they're actually exempt from lois mangurama. So that the Gemara says, man shamet le da amar tefillin mitzvah seishas lois mangurama. Who is it that you're asking from? Who is that opinion that holds that tefillin is not a time-bound commandment, that it's at all times? That's Reb Meir, as he's brought himself. This Erevin, where according to him, you actually do not need the hekesh. Rather, it's like we had originally learned it on the previous daf from a binyan av, where we learned it out from re'iyah, not from tefillin. We had asked in the previous daf that why do you need tefillin and re'iyah, which seemingly they're based on Bom Ke'echad saying that at mitzvah seishas mangurama, women are going to be exempt, and that we said that you wouldn't know one from the other, which doesn't create it into that element of Beis Ksum Bom Ke'echad. Now, obviously, Reb Meir cannot learn from tefillin because he holds tefillin is a mitzvah seishas lois mangurama. So where would he know that zman gurama is going to be exempt? He actually knows it from the mitzvah of Riyah, of coming up to the Beis HaMikdash by the Shalosh Regalim and bringing a carbon, where that's a mitzvah seishas mangurama, and women are exempt. Now, the question, however, that we had asked in the previous daf was, wait a second, why learn from tefillin and or Riyah, which according to Ramey, you'll be knowing it from Riyah. We said, learn it from matzah and hakel, that a woman is chayiv in zmangurama. So that says Gemara, v'savol ha-shnei k'sum, abam ke'echad. He holds that they're considered two psukim saying the same idea, where they're both zmangurama and the woman is chayiv. V'chol shnei k'sum, abam ke'echad, emalam. He holds, like the opinion that says when you have two psukim saying the same idea, you cannot learn from it. So therefore, the question is not applicable. The question was, we're saying, oh, how are you going to do with the Hekesh? Hekesh actually teaching us the exact opposite according to this opinion of Remeir. Says the Gemara, Remeir doesn't use the Hekesh. Because Remeir doesn't, he holds that we actually don't know it from Tefillin, we actually know it from Re'iyah. And because Re'iyah is Zman Gerama and women are exempt, so to old Zman Gerama. Now the question that we had asked was, wait a second, don't know it from Matzah and Hakel that a woman is Chayiv on Zman Gerama, and that he holds that Beit Zom Bom Ke'echad is Eimel Lamden. The whole question why we had came to the Hekesh was only according to Pin that holds that you could learn from Beit Ksuvim. That's where it had to come onto the Hekesh. Remeir doesn't need the Hekesh, and that's why he doesn't learn from there. Because he holds Beis Ksuvim Abam Ke'echad is Ein Malamdin. Now the Gemara, however, has one more question. So, but Ol Rabbi Huda, according to Rabbi Huda, the Amma that he says, Shnei Ksuvim Abam Ke'echad Malamdin, he's of the opinion, as his brother Masech the Sanhedrin of Samach Zayin and Aleph, Samach Zayin and Beis, that when you have two psukim saying the same idea, he holds that you could learn out from there. Now, moreover, he says in Masech this Eivin of Tzadivav Mabeis, Utfilin mitzvah sasei shaloyez mangrama. Moreover, he holds that tefillin is not a time-bound commandment. So according to him, as the Gemara, Michael Amemu, what are you going to say for him? We are going to know that women are exempt from mitzvah asei shezman gerama. Because according to a mayor, we were able to say, okay, yes, he cannot learn that from tefillin from the Hekesh, because actually tefillin is not zman gerama, it's actually shaloyez man gerama. So we said, according to a mayor, you'll know it from Re'iyah, and but regarding the question of matz and hakel, that's not difficult because the beis ksumam b'om ke'echad. Per Yehuda holds that you could learn that from beis ksumam b'om ke'echad. So back to the question: according to Yehuda, you cannot know it from tefillin because tefillin is lo zman gerama. Moreover, you cannot know it from Re'iyah because then you have the question: why learn a mamatzina from Re'iyah? Learn a mamatzina from matz and hakel because although it's beis ksumam b'om ke'echad, Yehuda holds you could learn from beis ksumam b'om ke'echad. So we should say women are chayiv in mitzvah seishas zman gerama. So the Gemara answers, because Mishum Dehavye, Matzah, Simcha, V'Hakel. Because you actually have three mitzvahs that are Shleishik Suma Boim Ke'echad, that are three psukim saying the same idea, that a woman is Chayiv in the mitzvah Seseches Mangram. And now as Rashi points out, and this is part of the Gemara's answer, that Yehuda does not hold like Abaye that we mentioned in the previous daf, that said that actually the woman does not have her own mitzvah of Simcha and Yomtiv. It's actually her husband that has the obligation to be Mesameachar. But Rabbi Huda, the Gemara's answering, does not hold like that. He holds it's the woman's own mitzvah. Now, B'shleishik, Sumabam Ke'echad, Eimalamdin, when you have three Pesukim, saying the same thing, even according to Rabbi Huda, who holds when you have Shneik Sumabam Ke'echad, that you're Malamdin, you could learn out from something, even though you could have said one Pasuk, it says two, you could learn out from it. But when it says three Pesukim, there Rabbi Huda agrees, and therefore we cannot learn out from Matzah and Hakel, because you have with it Simcha, that are all three time-bound positive commandments that women are obligated, and therefore you cannot learn from there. They're the exception, and that's why the Torah had to mention each one specifically. That's the halacha of Shleishik Suma Bom Ke'echad Eim Alamdin, and therefore we're only going to be able to learn the other way actually from Re'iyah, which is a Zman Gerama Mitzvah Saseh, and women are exempt, so to all Mitzvah Saseh, Shazman Gerama. Now Tesis points out that answers only the question regarding Mitzvah Saseh, Shazman Gerama. Where does Rabbi Huda know mitzvah seseh shaloyaz man gerama that women are obligated? Because you should say, as the other Gemara's question was, that they're exempt from Talmud Torah and Pinya Ben. Because although it's basic suma bom keach, like the Gemara had answered, Rabbi Huda holds you could learn out from basic suma bom keach. So says Taisus, it must be that Rabbi Huda holds not like Rabbi Yechonon ben Bereka, and rather he'll have three suma bom keach, which were said even according to him, you're not malamdin, because you have Talmud Torah, Pinya Ben and Pirvi Rivia, which are all not time-bound mitzvahs. There's loizman gerama, and women are exempt, and therefore you can't learn from there because it's gimel ksuma bom keched, and therefore rather we're going to be learning from Yerizava Aim, which is that when it's loizman gerama, women are obligated. Now the Gemara continues, quoting our Mishnah, that we just discussed up until now, mitzvah seh shezman gerama, that they're exempt, shaloyezman gerama, that they're chayit. Then the Mishnah said, "V'chol mitzvahs loisa say v'chula." All negative prohibitions in the Torah, both men and women are obligated. So the Gemara's manan mili. Where do we know this from? So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, he says, "And v'chein tana de Rabbi Shmuel." So to his Torah in the Brayis in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Amakra, the Pasuk in Midbar says, "Ish o isha, man or woman, kiyasu mikol chatos ha'adam." If they'll do from any of the sins of man, so says the Gemara. We see the Pasuk is equating a man and a woman to all punishments in the Torah. Because that's what the Pasuk says over there. That if they violate, so then you have to bring a carbon, which means to say that the penalties that apply to a negative prohibition, it says Isha Isha. Now, a negative prohibition has a penalty of Malkus. If you violate a negative prohibition, you get lashes. So since we see the Torah is equating all punishments to man and woman, so too we see that obviously women have all the punishments that men have, and that includes when you violate a negative prohibition. And that's how we know that a woman is obligated in all the negative prohibitions, just like a man. Now, the Beit Rabbi Eliezer Tana was taught in the Brais of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, as Rashi points out, these next two sources are not coming to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. That we know from this Brais of Rabbi Shmuel. It's just coming to say that once we mentioned from the Brais of Rabbi Shmuel the source of Einshin, that women are in that too, and that's how we know that they're Mechoyim and Ol Loisa says. So it then brings also other things that they're included in, one being monetary law, and also that if they get killed, then we kill the one who murdered them, that women are included in that. Now, so the Bei Reb Eliezer teaches that Omakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, where it starts off in the beginning of Parashas Mishpatim, says Ve'elah Mishpatim, that these are the laws, the statutes, Asher Tasim Lefneim, that you should place in front of them. Who's them? All of the Jewish people. The Pasuk is equating men and women for all judgments, all monetary law that there is in the Torah, that women have the same due process in the courts, just like men. Bechizki Tana, he brings a source for another halacha that women are included. Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, it says Vimsher Nagahu, it says that if this is an ox that's a goring one, and it talks about a tam and a mood, Vehemis Isha Isha, and if the ox is going to kill a man or a woman. So Hishvakasav Isha Leish L'chol Mises Shabbat Torah. So we see the Pasuk is equating a woman to a man for all deaths in the Torah, meaning that whoever kills a woman will be Chayiv Misa, and so too if the ox kills the woman, it will be Chayiv for Kaifer, which is the penalty that the owner of the ox has to pay when it kills a person, just the same way as a man, same thing, it's equating that a woman is going to be the same thing. Now says the Gemara, but Tzricha, we needed to have all these three sources, including saying a woman is just like a man, both for the halacha of Einshin, that women get the same penalties as men when they violate an Avera, also that they're included in monetary law, and also that when they get killed, they're the same thing as when a man is killed. Because the Yesh Min HaKamaisa, had we only said the first halacha of the Brais of Rabbi Shmuel, which is talking about being chayv in a carbon, when you take an oath of a deposit when you're stealing from a ger, which is brought in Parashas Nasa, which is, maybe over there we would say, Mishum Kapara, because since that's an atonement, when you bring a Kapara, it cleanses you from the sin that you did. So Chas Rachman Allah. So maybe the Torah had mercy on the woman, and therefore it included a woman in the man to actually, you would think punishment is bad. It's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, so that you could get cleansed from the sin that you did. So maybe that's why we included women like men. Aval Din and Eima, but regarding monetary law, I would say, Ish Debar Masa Matan In, a man who's someone that's busy with commerce, with business, yes, he's included in the halachas of dinan. But ishalai, but a woman would not be included. So that's what I have to say. Also the halacha of the source of the Beir Eliezer, which includes women in that halacha too, Abasha Tasim Lefneim. Now, v'yesh min ha, had we only said the halacha of mishpatim, of dinan, mishum dechiyusahi, I would say because that's a person's livelihood. In other words, if we wouldn't include women, the halachas of monetary law, so they wouldn't have a life, because everyone would steal from her, she would steal from others, and everyone would stay away from her because she's like above the law. Monetary law doesn't apply to her. So she wouldn't be able to have a normal life. So maybe that's why women are included. Aval Kaifa, regarding the third source, regarding when the Pasuk says, Vehemis Isha Isha, if the ox kills a man or a woman, which is talking about that the owner of this Sher Hamud, an ox that gored already three times, that kills a person, the owner has to pay kaifer, which is the monetary amount of the value of the person who was killed. Ema, I would say, as the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, ish debar mitzvahs in, a man who's someone that's obligated in all the mitzvahs, yes. by him, the owner of the ox would have to pay kaifer to the inheritors of that person who died, because now he cannot fulfill all the mitzvahs which a man is mechuyev. But ishalai, a woman is not obligated in all the mitzvahs. Maybe we would say when the ox gores and kills the woman, that the owner of the ox does not have to pay kaifer to the inheritors of the woman. That's why I have to say also that third source. Now, v'yesh min ha, had we said only the third source, mishum de'ik ibn neshama, I would say, oh, because there's a loss of life. That's why the Torah required the owner to pay kaifer even by the death of a woman, because she's no less a neshama than a man too. So chasrach mana Allah. So the Torah had mercy on her and gave a penalty for killing a woman as same as a man. Avahanach tarti im aloi. But regarding the first two halachas, which are not the death of a person, they're just regarding monetary law and regarding einchin, maybe I would say that the woman would not be included. So tzricha, that's why we have to have all three sources to say a woman is included in einchin, a woman is included in dinin, and a woman is included in regarding that when someone kills her, whether a person or an ox, that the penalties will apply both to a woman just like a man. Now, then the Mishnah concluded by saying that although a woman is obligated in all the loisaseis, all negative prohibitions in the Torah, but there are three exceptions. Chutz mibal takif, except for the prohibition of rounding the corner of one's hair on one's head. Ubal tashchis is the violation of destroying the corners of the beard, chulu, etc. And the third one is regarding the prohibition of a woman, kohenes, being metama lemeisim, that she's not obligated in these three negative prohibitions. So the Gemara brings the source for these halachas. Bishlem about the metama lemeisim, I understand this, that a woman is not obligated in the negative prohibition of becoming ritually impure to a mess, although she's from the family of the kohanim, because the chesed says in the pasuk in the Yikra, Emer el ha-kahanim b'nei Aharon. It says, tell the kahanim, the sons of Aaron, not to become tami l'meisim unless it's their seven close relatives. Now, it says b'nei Aharon, the sons of Aaron, which tells you, b'loi b'nois Aharon, and not the daughters of Aaron. Very simply, that's where they're being excluded from. But Ella rather, however, asked the Gemara, bal takif, regarding the prohibition of not rounding the corners of one's hair on one's head, u'bal tashchis, and the prohibition of destroying the corners of the beards, minolan, from where do we know that women are exempt? So the Gemara says, like it says in the pasuk in the Yikra, it says, "Loi sakifu pa'as reishchem." You shouldn't round the corners of one's head, which someone would even out his temples from what's behind his ear to his forehead, and that's because behind the ear is smooth, where up until the temples there's hair over here. Now, someone that destroys the hair on his temple, which makes that his forehead is equal to the hair that's behind that, all the way to the eerie behind the ear, which has no hair, that he's rounding it out, so that one could almost picture a mushroom haircut where you take off the sideburns, where it's not connected anymore. That's the prohibition about rounding out the corners of one's head. And the pasuk says, "V'lei sashchis es pasuk anecha," and you should not destroy the corners of your beard. Says the Gemara, "Kol sheyeshne b'hashchas," whoever is in the violation, that's the hekesh, where the pasuk is equating these two violations, whoever's included in the violation of destroying the corners of one's beard, yeshne b'hakaf, would be included in the prohibition of rounding out the corners of the payas of the head. Now, v'hani nashi, but regarding these women, hoyl v'lo isnu b'ashchasa, since they're not included in the prohibition about destroying the corners of the beard, so lesnu b'hakaf, so therefore they're not included in the violation about rounding out the corners of their head. Now, the Gemara asks, how do you know they're not included in the violation of destroying the corners of the hair on their beards? So the Gemara says, if you want, you can say it's logic, because they don't grow beards. So obviously they're not included in the Isra of not destroying their beards, and therefore they're, the other half of the pasuk, they're not included in either, which is not to cut off the corners of their head. Or if you want, you could say it's actually a pasuk, because the Amakra, the pasuk says, Loisekifu pa'as reishchem. We're reading the pasuk again. It says, don't round out the corners of your heads, it says in the plural. V'leisashchis es pas de kanecha, and don't destroy the corners of your beard in the singular. Now, medishani kra b'dibur, from the fact that the pasuk changes the terminology, because the imkain, because if so, nichtav rachmona pa'as zikanchem. Why did it change the uniformity from the pasuk? It should have said, just like it says, Reishchem, it should have said Zikanchem. It's talking to the Jewish people. You shouldn't round out the corners of your heads, so you shouldn't destroy the corners of your beards. My Zikanecha, what's your beard? Although that could still be a reference to the plural, but why does it say it in the singular? To tell you Zikanecha below Zikan Ishtecha. To tell you that your beard you're not destroyed, but the women, even if they grow a beard, and they destroy it, they're not included in that violation of being mashkes pasik anecha, and therefore they're not included in pas reishchem either. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this halach b'loy, is it really true that women are not commandment in the isra of destroying their beards? But v'tanya, learn the b'raisa that says, zikan isha, the beard of a woman, which usually doesn't grow, v'hasris, and also a eunuch, a person that also doesn't develop all the masculine traits of a man, where he also generally doesn't grow a beard, but shehelu sar, so let's say the sris and the woman, if they end up growing here, says the b'raisa, harehin kizakin l'chal davrein, so then their beard has halachas of beards for all practical purposes. So says the Gemara, my love l'ashchas, so what does it mean when it's coming to say that their halachas of their beards are like old beards? Isn't it coming to say that just like a man's beard, you're not allowed to destroy the corners of it, as we'll see later, through a razor, so too, a woman and a sris. So you see, a woman is mitzvah in that isra of leisashchis of pasik anecha. So Amabai, Abai says, no. And this is really like a third source. Lahashchasu lemitzisa amid. You cannot say that a woman is obligated, that her beard is not allowed to be destroyed. Because the yolov pa'as pas mimnei aron. Because we learn out a gzereshav of the word corners from the halachas by kahanim. Because by Yisrael, certain mitzvahs, it says both by kahanim and by non-kahanim. So by Yisrael it says, you'll destroy pa'azik anecha, the corners of your beard. And by Kahanim it says, ufa'azik kanim lo yigalecha, and the corners of the beard they're not allowed to shave off. Now, the Gemara's assumption right now in Abaye is that when it says, emor el ha-kahanim b'nei Aharon, when it says all the way in the beginning of that parasha, it says, talk to the Kahanim, the sons of Aaron, which that tells you the sons of Aaron, v'loy b'nois Aaron, not the daughters of Aaron. It's going on all the halachas mentioned over there in those pesukim over there. So says Abaye, Malahal and Nashim Patur is just like over there by Kahanim, when it talks about the Isra of destroying the corners of the beards. Women are exempt because it said in the beginning B'nai Aaron, which tells you it doesn't apply to B'nai Aaron. So Afkan, Nashim Patur is. So also over here by a Yisrael, we learn like Zereshav from Pa'as Pa'as, even by a non Kahanim, that the Isra applies only to men and not to women. They don't have that Isra of Leisashchis, so again, they don't have the Isra of Leisakifu, of cutting off the payas. Now, however, the Gemara asks on Abaya. If we hold like the way Abaye just said, that when the beginning of the parasha says the sons of Aaron, and which excludes Benois Aaron, Akula and Yoniksiv, so it's going on everything written there in the parasha, so then Nishtik Kroa Mine. So then the Pasuk should have been silent. In other words, we should not have needed this Gezerah Shavah that Abaye is bringing of Pa'as Pa'as to exclude the non-Kahanic women, to say that they're also not included in the Isra of Loisashchis Pasik Anecha. Because Vetesei, we should learn the exemption of the beard of a woman from being destroyed, Bekalvachomer, from a Kalvachomer, from a Kahanis. Because Va'ana Amina, I would say, Umma Kahanim Shariba Behemakos of Mitzis Yisaris, if regarding Kahanim, that the Pasik usually puts on more stringencies and more mitzvahs that apply to Kahanim than non Kahanim, and still B'nei Aaron, B'lei B'nei Aaron, still, as we learn now from that parasha, as Abaye is saying, it says only the sons of Aaron, which excludes the daughters of Aaron, that the daughters of Aaron, the women of Kahanic families, are not obligated in the Isra of Leisashchisu, that you now destroy the Pasik and Echa. So Yisrael, a Kalshikain, isn't it a Kalshikain that the non-Kahanic women would not be obligated, because they have less mitzvahs than Kahanim usually, that they wouldn't be obligated in the violation of destroying the corners of the beard? So the question on Abai is, why do you need Gzeir Shavah then? Why learn not Pas Pas? Even without Gzeir Shavah, you know it from a Kalvachimer. Now the Gemara says, no. Ilav Gzeirah Shavah, if we didn't have this Gzeirah Shavah that Abaye said, Havamina Hifsika Inin. I would have said that actually when it's said in the beginning of the parasha in Emor, B'nei Aharon, it's not going on the whole entire parasha. It actually would be going on the first thing it mentions over there, which is regarding the prohibition of being metame themselves to other people. Now, the reason being is because there are other halachic topics that interfere between there and the Isra of destroying the corners of the beards, as Rashi brings one example, which is Lo Yitama, which says that a Kohen is allowed to be Metam himself to his sister, which the same halacha applies to a Kahanist, that she's also allowed to be Metam herself to her sister. Where there, actually, it does include B'nai Sa'aron. So there are halachas over there that are not just B'nai Aaron and not B'nai Sa'aron. So therefore, we would have thought to say, if we didn't have the Gezeirah Shavah, we would have said that actually maybe that B'nai Aaron is not going on. And maybe that women are included in the Isser of not destroying the corners of their beards. Now that we have a Gzeirah Shavah, what's a Gzeirah Shavah coming to tell us? What are we learning out that by Yisrael's Isra of cutting the corner of the beards from the Kohanim's Isra of cutting the beards, what do we need to learn from one from the other? Must be that because by Kohanim, the Bnei Aaron is going on the whole entire parasha, and that women are not obligated. Oh, so that will tell us now, based on Gezeirah Shavah, that the same thing applies to the Bnei Yisrael, that they're also not included in that mitzvah. Because if not for the Gezeirah Shavah, just based on the Kal Vachomer, I would have said actually that no, there is no Kal Vachomer, because actually the Kohanic women are obligated in that, because Bnei Aaron is not going in the whole thing. But now they have, we have Gezeirah Shavah, it's forcing us to say there must be something different over there, which is teaching us over here by the Bnei Yisrael. Now, what the Gemara asks on this, and says, if that's the case, that you would have said that a Kal Vachomer would not have helped, because he would have said Hifsek Inyan, that Bnei Aaron is going only what's in the beginning of the parasha. And then there are other halachic topics which apply to women too, so then when it says later regarding the cutting of the corner of the beards, that you can't say it's also Bnei Aaron Bolei Bnei Sa'aron, and that's why you say it needed Gzeirah Shavah. But on that, the Gemara says, Hashtanami name a Hifsek Inyan. Well, then even if you have a Gzeirah Shavah, you should still say that there is something that is stopping in between the mir of Bnei Aaron to Bnei Sa'aron and the halacha of destroying the beard, and actually that women are commandment and they are obligated in not to destroy the corners of the beards. Now, the imishim gzeirah shavah, and if you're going to say, but wait a second, I have a gzeirah shavah over here, pas pas, what do I need that for? It must be telling me something I'm learning out from the halachas of the isra of the kohanim cutting their beards, which must be Bnei Aaron v'lo Bnei Sa'aron, and that the Gemara says no. Meboy lilik detanya. You need that gzeirah shavah of pas pas to teach, as is taught in the following brisa, which comes to compare that there are certain halachic variables mentioned by the Yisrael's Isra of cutting the corners of their beards, and there are certain characteristics that are mentioned only by the parasha by the Kohanim, which is coming to tell us, as the Brisa will illustrate, that the Isra of destroying one's corner of one's beard is only with Hashchasa, destroying, and it has Giluach, that it's through a shaving process. Now, since that's what we need the Gezeirah Shavah for, so how can you infer from the necessity of the Gezeirah Shavah to say that must be Bnei Aaron is coming to tell you B'loi Bnei Aaron also on the cutting of the corners of the beards, when it's not true? You have Hifsek Inyan, something's in the way. The Gezeirah Shavah is coming to teach us something else, as we learned in the following brisa. Pasuk says in Vayikra, and this is in Chafal of Pasuk A, it says Ufahaz Kanam, that the corners of their beards Lo Yigalechu, they're not allowed to cut off. Now, Yachal Gilchel B'Misparayim Yichav. So this is by the Kohanim and one is by the Yisrael. So this pasuk says, Yachal Gilchel B'Misparayim Yichav. You would think that it says you're not allowed to cut off the corners of your beards, you would think that if you use scissors, you'd be chayiv for cutting off the corners of the beards wherever those corners are. Tam Olema, that's what the pasuk teaches in that other parasha. It says, Loisashchas. It says, you're not allowed to destroy. The scissor is not destroying the person's skin. And therefore, you're not obligated. That's not a violation. Now, yachol liktoi b'malkid, you would think that if you pluck off the hairs of the corners of the beards with this malkid, which is some type of a plane that those who would sharpen the swords, they smooth out the sheath, which is where the sword is kept, they do it with this plane, or v'hitni, which is another type of a plane from those that make the shields. You would think that if you use those planes to go ahead and cut off the corners of the beards, you'd be liable, because you're destroying the corners of the beards. That's what the other pasuk teaches, which is said by the Kohanim. It says, no, you're not allowed to shave it off, which says it has to be something that's normally used for the process of shaving, and a plane, which is some type of an instrument, is not usually used for that. So that's what the Gezeirah Shavah is coming to tell us, that what it says by the parasha by the Kohanim, which it says has to be derech giluach, that applies to the Yisraelim. What it says by Yisraelim has to be derech hashchas, it has to be ruining the person's, down to the root of the hair on the person's skin, by Yisraelim, that applies by Kohanim too. So haketzad. So on that, the Brisa concludes. So what's the conclusion? What is the criterion then that we learn out from both, one by the Yisraelim and by the Kohanim, that the combination tells us that they both have to have what says by the other one? You have to have a giluach sheyesh b'hashchasa. The iser of shaving one's beard has to be a shaving that has a destructive process to it. Havayim is etar. The conclusion is a razor. A razor is a derech giluach. It's a way for cutting hair, just like a scissor. But scissor doesn't have hashchasa. And it also destroys like a plane, but a plane is not derech giluach. It's a reza, it has both those characteristics, which we know from the Gzeir Shava, comparing the parsha of cutting the corner of the beards by Yisrael and Kahanam, one to the other, which tells us that halacha, and therefore the Gemara says, we're back to the question. What is Abai telling us that we cannot say that women are obligated in the Isra of cutting the beards because of Gzeir Shava? What do you mean? We asked, why didn't you do Gzeir Shava? Learn from a Kavochem. I said, no, Kavochem, you can't because Hipsik Inyan. Well, then why don't you say Hipsik Inyan by the Gzeir Shava too? And then if you're going to wonder, so what do we need the Gzeir Shava for? That's very simply, like it says in this Brisa, to teach us the basic halacha of using a razor, which is only because we know that on the Gzeir Shava that we share the characteristics by both the Parsha of Yisrael and Kahana. So that the Gemara answers, Im Kain. If that was so, like you're asking, that the entirety of the Gzeir Shava was coming to teach only this comparison of the halachas to say that how we know a razor, well then nichtiv kra es shebezeknecha. Then answers the Gemara, then the pasuk should have just said, and that of your beard. In other words, if you would have said those words, it would have been as if it said in the pasuk the word pa'asekenecha, the corners of your beards. Why? Because the word peya was already mentioned in the first half of the pasuk when it talks about the head. It says don't round off the corners, peya, of your head. That's the peyas. Now, from the fact that it could have written by the beard, es shebezeknecha, and also don't cut off that which is by your beard, and if it wouldn't have said es zeknecha, and your beard, it would have said es shebezeknecha, and that of which is by your beard, I would have known that it's a referencing to what it said back in the beginning of the pasuk, which is on the peyas. And the pasuk would have been saying, essentially, even without using the word peya, leisashkes peyas shebezeknecha. Don't destroy the corners, even without saying that word, of your beard. And then, once we would have known that, it's as if it would have said the word peya, then I would have learned out that, just like it says by Kahanim, that it has to be a giluach, it has to be a shaving, and hashchas I know from Yisraelim, so we would have known the gzeir shav, one from the other, Yisraelim and Kahanim. Or, as Rashi says, we could have known it from a binyan av, which is that just like one is liable for cutting the corners of one's beard by Kahanim, which is through shaving, so I would have said the same thing applies to the corners of the beard by Yisraelim, where they already mentioned Sashchasa, and based on the Mamatzin, I would have said that the same thing that applies by the Kahanim is has to be Derech Giluach, so too by Yisrael. So my Pa'as the Kenecha says the Gemara, why did it have to use the word the corners of the beard? I could have known the word pay without even mentioning it by saying Eshebizekenecha. And then I would have known the Gzeir Shava, because although it doesn't say the word peya, it would have been as if it does say the word peya. Shema mina tarti. So that the Gemara says, from the fact that it didn't have to say the word pa'as, and it says the word pa'as, it's coming to tell us a complete Gzeir Shava, to tell you that whatever applies by the Parsha Kahanim applies by Yisraelim. What do you mean? What do you mean everything? Well, I'm already knowing that even without the word pa'as. Must be that B'nei Aharon, B'loi B'nei Aharon, must be it's going on the halacha of not cutting the corners of the beards, because or else I would have known that without saying the word pa'as. It must be adding something I would not have known, which is to say that women are not obligated in that iser of cutting the corners of the beards, and that's what the extra word pa'as is coming to tell you, to compare it to the Yisraelim, that it's also over there, that it's only for the men and not for the women, that they're not liable for that iser. And again, therefore, since they're not liable in the second half of the pasuk, they're not liable in the first half of the pasuk, which is Leisakiva Pas Reishchem, and Baltatam Lamesim we mentioned, that's the source for the halacha of the three in our Mishnah, that women are exempt in these three Leisaseis. Now, however, the Gemara goes back to the original question. But if Elohad the Tanya, but then this that we learned in the Braisa, which started this whole question, that says, Zekana Isha Vahasris, regarding the beard of a woman, or sris shehelusar, which they end up having here on their beard, said harehin kizak and lachol devrim. So halachically, we consider it as a beard for all practical purposes. L'may helchasa. So for what halacha is it coming to tell us? You just said it can't be talking about the issa of baltashkes because we said that doesn't apply to them. So for what halachic purposes is the brisa saying? So amazutra, he says it's l'tumas negoim. So regarding the halachas of the tuma that applies to a nega, to that of tzaras, which is because there's a different halachas for the symptoms of the place of a nega if it's on here versus if it's actually a nega on a person's skin. Because by a nega, by a tsaras that's on the skin, the pasuk says that the sign of tuma is sar lavan, is white here. Now, whereas when you have a nega on the hair of the head or the beard, actually the sign of tuma is sar tzahub, is yellowish, goldish type of a hair. So that's what the Bryce is saying, that if a woman ends up developing hair on her beard, if she has a nega over there, it'll have the same halachic criterion as that of a beard of a man, which is not with white hair, but actually it's going to be with gold hair. So that's the halachic relevance of it being considered a beard. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Tumas Negoim behad yiksiva. But we have an explicit pasuk that says that the woman is the same halachas of her beard as a man regarding Tumas Negoim. And therefore, I wouldn't need a brisa to tell us that the woman has that halacha of beards for all practical purposes. Because the pasuk says explicitly that the woman has a beard regarding these halachas. It says, Vayikra, it says, Ve'ish, oy isha, man or woman. Kiyya, by nega, if she's going to have a nega, Be'reish, oy bezakan, on the hair on their head, or the hair on their beard. So why would I need a brisa if it's coming to tell us the halachas of Tumas Negoim if it's an explicit pasuk? So Ella Amar Marzutra, rather Marzutra says, you're right, it's actually coming to tell us L'taharas Negoim, for the purification of a nega. In other words, when she becomes tahar, that if she had a nega on her beard, she's going to require the process of the tahara of a mitzayir, which includes cutting all the hair on the body and bringing the purification birds that are brought. Now the Gemara asks, taharas negayim nami pshita. Well, that's pretty obvious that the halachas of a woman, if she had a nega in her beard, that she's going to have the purification process as a man does, because kivin de bas tumah, since she becomes tummy from such a nega, as we brought an explicit pasuk, so bas tahara here. Obviously, she would have the halachas of purification of a nega. Why would I need the brisa to tell us that? So if rather the Gemara says, itzrich, truthfully, we need, as we said before, it's coming to teach us the halach of a woman's beard applied to the halachas of tumas negayim, as it applies to a man, which it's coming to tell us a comparison of the simanim of the nesek, which is the halacha of tuma of a nega on here, of a woman's beard, to the halachas of the beard of a man. Now, if you're going to ask, but we have an explicit pasuk saying that, and that the Gemara says, that's not true. Because Sagidai Tachamina, I would have thought to say, let's start them, that the pasuk was saying, when it opened up with certain characters, it was only then following through with only some of them. As the Gemara explains, when it says in the pasuk ish or isha, man or woman, ki yeh bay nega b'raish, if they're going to have a nega on their head, so when it mentions the woman in the pasuk, that's only going on the nesek of the nega of here, of the here of the head. When then the pasuk says, oy bizakin, or in the beard, which it says at the end, hadra soin li ish, that was only going back and referencing regarding ish, and not on the woman. That's how I would have learned the pasuk, because the woman usually doesn't have a beard. Kamash malam, that's what the time of the Brisa is coming to teach us, that no, a woman's beard has the same halachas as a man, and that is, now they're teaching you how to interpret the pasuk, where it's not going only on a man, it's also going on a woman. She will have the same halachas of tumas negayim in her beard, just like a man. But as the Gemara answered, it's not going on the halachas of being mashkes pasuk in necha, because that only applies to a man and not to a woman. So our Mishnah had said three exceptions. Isi Tani, he added on in his brisa a fourth exception of a negative prohibition that a woman is exempt. He says, af bal yikruchu. Also the prohibition of making a bald spot in one's hair, because as a sign of mourning for a dead person, which is an isser in the Torah, nashim peturas, women are exempt from that isser. So the Gemara is my time of the Isi, what's the reason for Isi? What's his source? To Darsh Hachi, he expounds the pasuk in the Varm as follows. It says, Banim atim l'shem l'keichem. You are son to Hashem, your God. Leitiskeididu. You shouldn't create gashes in your body. Again, over a sign of mourning. V'leisesimu karcho b'neinechem l'meisen. You shouldn't place a bald spot between your eyes, meaning a reference to the hair on one's head, over the death of a person. Kiam kadosh atim l'shem l'keichem. Because you're a holy nation to Hashem, your God. Now, the interpretation is, it says, Banim v'lei banis. It says, you are sons and not daughters, which is lakarcha, regarding the iser of creating a bald spot. But regarding gedida, regarding creating a gash, that actually would include women too. Now that the discussion is, ato'im lakarcha, are you really going to say that it's only regarding making a bald spot that they're exempt, that we say banim lebanis? Ayena ela legedida, maybe it applies also to creating a gash. Because actually if you read the pasuk, it actually, that's the order. Says banim atim l'shem akechem, and the first one after that is loytis geididu, don't create a gash. Only afterwards does it say loytisimu karcha b'neinechem. So how do you know that banim b'leibanis is going actually on the second one of karcha, of creating a bald spot, that the women are exempt and not on gedida? So that he explains kishu oimer, when the next pasuk then says kiam kadosh atal l'shem akechem, because you are holy people to Hashem your God. Now women are also included in the am Hashem, in the people of God. Sahari gedida amr. So obviously, women are also included in the iser of creating a gash. So aman mekayim banim b'leibanis. So then, how do I interpret when the pasuk is saying it's only for sons, meaning for men, and not for women. It must be talking about lekarcha for the isra of creating a bald spot. That doesn't apply to women. Now that the question is, where did you see fit to include the women in the gashing, but to exclude them from the creating the bald spot? So on that it says, I would include women in the Isser, which the Emoiri, that's what their customs were regarding their dead people, that the prohibition of creating a gash in one's body, because it's more universal. The prohibition of creating a gash is whether in a place on your body where there's hair or whether in a place where there's no hair. So it's regarding that more universal applicable prohibition that we're going to include women from where the pasuk says that ki am kadoshata umaitzani esakarcha, and therefore the exclusionary term of banim, I would exclude the halacha of making a bald spot she'ena ela b'makom sar, which that's a more limited violation. It's only in the place where there's hair, because that's where you can make a bald spot. That is where we'll say women are exempt. In contrast to Gedida, we'll say that women are included from Kiyam Kodeshata. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Ve'ema banim v'lei banis, but maybe I should tell you that no. Maybe when it says, as the Pasuk starts off with, that your sons for Hashem your God, and therefore you're including all these violations, it's v'lei banis. It's telling you, and not women, not daughters. And actually, I'll exclude Bein Lekarcha, Bein Lekdida. So whatever it says during the Pasuk, that women are not obligated in not making the bald spot and also not in making the gashes. And maybe this that the next pasuk says, because you're a holy people for Hashem, your God, which sounds like it's including women because they're included in the Am Hashem. Maybe that's referring to a different thing that they're obligated in. Maybe it's regarding the prohibition of scratching oneself, which the Gemara's assumption now is that srita, scratching, and gedida, which is gashing, are two different things. Because one is by hand, and one is when you use a vessel, a utensil. Now, as Rashi explains, although srita, creating scratches in one's body, is not written over there, but since it's similar to gedida, because essentially the same thing is creating gashes in oneself, whether through using a tool or using one's hand, so maybe that's why the Torah wrote over here to tell you that don't say that just like a woman is exempt by karcha and on gedida, so too you'd think they're exempt from srita. And that's what the pasuk is saying, that no, that since it says am kaddish is coming to include women, that they're actually going to be obligated in srita. However, now as Rashi says, the reason why the Gemara is asking this is this actually is the more preferable way of interpreting the pasuk, because or else it's being inverted. Because if you're saying banim b'lei banis is going on only the end of the pasuk, but not what comes right after, which is gedida. Here we're saying better. No, banim b'lei banis is whatever it says in the pasuk, both for karcha and gedida for sure, which is the thing that comes right after the term banim, so that she's actually exempt from both of them. Why saying she's only exempt from karcha, not gedida? Maybe the term of kiyam kaddish is coming to include sarita. I think my answer is no. Kasavar isi held sarita v'gedida, scratching and gashing, as we continue on top of lamed vamed aleph, achasi. They're the same thing. In other words, both of them mean, but whether you do it by hand or with a kli, and therefore, since Am Kaddish is including women, therefore you can't say it's including just srita, because srita is the same as gedida, and therefore that must be including something, which again, as we said, if we're going to include something, we're going to include the more universal thing, which is whether in a place with this here or not, which is gedida. And when it says banim v'lei banis, although it's inverted, it's going to be excluding karcha, and that's the source for Isi's halacha, which is that besides the three mentioned on Mishnah, he mentioned the fourth one that women are exempt from, which is if they make a bald spot in their hair or as a sign of mourning over a dead person, women are going to be exempt from that negative prohibition.